Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here comes the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, hell yeah. You about to get all stung up.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
That was pretty good. That was a Friday. What up, H-Town?
Damn right it was.
The step there. The W is what gave it away. The W, you hit it hard. That was a Friday W.
Yep.
Is what that was.
Now you get yourself a Saturday W, and the weekend's going to start off really nice.
I was being heckled in the airport. He's Blank. I'm Joe George behind the glass. Friday edition of the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Joe is our assistant to the regional manager. He is our Queen Bee. Yeah. Yeah, I was getting heckled. They were saying rock chalk as I was walking through the airport.
Because you obviously had your red on, right?
No, not even red. I had my white hat on with the red UH letter. I didn't even have red on. And they were rock chalking me, whatever that means. Whatever a rock chalk means. I was getting rock chalked as I walked to the baggage claim. A lot of Kansas City jerseys, too. A bunch of Pat Mahomes. No Willie Gay jerseys. A lot of Pat Mahomes jerseys. No Willie Gay jerseys for whatever reason. A lot of Travis Kelce jerseys. Not much on the defensive side of the ball, though, which was interesting. Coug Blaze can't believe they have an airport there. Well, they actually don't. You have to fly into Missouri. Well, I did. I flew into Kansas City, Missouri, and then I had to drive to Lawrence. But that's enough about me. I don't know why I had this on my mind today, Blankers. Probably some sort of Discord on Twitter. That's where I get all my stuff. One-hit wonders. We've seen plenty of one-hit wonders, whether it's in music. There's a lot of music artists who are one-hit wonders. They have one hit. They don't make anything else that's worth the darn the rest of their lives. You're one-hit actors or actresses, directors, and we see a lot of one-hit wonders in sports where one guy or lady will jump onto the sports scene and then they'll disappear forever. Mac McClung, kind of a one-hit wonder. He's on the scene, the slam dunk competition, and then can't even play well in the G League. Or a guy has a really good year, and then he's gone. Or maybe just a period of time, like Jeremy Lin. I know Jeremy Lin lasted more than 1 year, but it was that one hit, and they made a living off of that. Maybe a Tim Tebow. Like, there's a bunch of one-hit wonders, and if you want to send us some of your favorite one-hit wonders, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees aren't one-hit wonders because we've lived through two different time slots. Joe George is not a one-hit wonder because he's making his way up the alphabet. Two of the 26 have been accomplished, so congratulations on that, Joe. From a Houston Texans perspective, who are you most concerned is a one-hit wonder? And I have a list here of 7 players that had career years, I would call it. And maybe I missed a couple. Y'all can add some on. 713-780-3776 or Blankers or Joe. CJ Stroud's one of them. Yep. Nico Collins, career year. Tank Dell, first year, career year. Will Anderson, first year, career year. John Gernard has had a solid season before. Now, this was a career year. You could nitpick me here and say he's not a one-hit wonder, that he had 8 sacks 2 years ago. You're an idiot. How do you put a guy who had 8 sacks 2 years ago on this one-hit wonder list? But for the sake of conversation, he's there. Christian Harris is there, and Derek Stingley Jr. is there. Off the top of your head, am I missing anybody here?
I got one. Cashman.
Who is it? Okay, see, I thought about Cashman. The reason that I didn't want to put Blake Cashman here, but we will, since you brought him up. I don't think he's in the tier of these guys. I don't think he's in, like, if you just read off a list of 8 players, CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Will Anderson, John Gernard, Christian Harris, Derek Stingley, and Blake Cashman, SAT question, what's the one name that doesn't belong?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
But we can discuss him.
I mean, because the thing is, he may never play better than he played this year.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And the, I mean, I think he is a good name to discuss one hit wonders. The reason that I didn't put him on this list was because of the, you know, I don't think he's on the same tier, but maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe
in this system, he might excel. I don't know. It just seemed like he had, you know, came out of nowhere to be a pretty big contributor.
All right, let's throw him on there. Joe, do you have any off the top of your head that we can throw on here that maybe we both overlooked now?
No, I think you guys got it. I don't really see anyone on this list that I would want to add past that. Noah Brown didn't play enough. Singletary?
See, I thought Singletary had comparable years to this in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's fair.
What about Johnston?
Yeah.
You want to debate a punter?
He's a hell of a punter.
He was a hell of a punter.
I'm just saying.
He had a good year last year too, though. Like he's been a good punter. This wasn't like out of the norm for him. Now I think why we noticed more is because he was on a good football team. Whenever you're punting on a team that wins 11 games in 3 years, it's like, okay, whatever. You're just a punter. But we can discuss him maybe at the back end of it. Somebody said Jalen Petrie. Jalen Petrie didn't have the career year. Jalen Petrie had a better rookie year than he did sophomore year.
Yeah,
his one hit wonder was last year.
Yeah. Now, hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully, maybe Jalen Petrie is the casualty tale of what we're talking about to you right now, that he is the one-hit wonder of the Houston Texans, and that's the reason we're having the conversation. I hope not. I hope that he can figure it out next year, have a bounce back in year two with DeMeco Ryans. So who are we most concerned is a one-hit wonder? I'm not concerned that C.J. Stroud's a one-hit wonder. And there's been some one-hit wonders, let's be honest, at the quarterback position. Like Vince Young made the Pro Bowl in his rookie year and then never did after that. Robert Griffin got hurt. And, you know, that was the reason that he stunk the rest of his career. I don't have really any concern of C.J. Stroud being a one-hit wonder.
I don't either. I mean, look, and you know, we're going to get into some other stuff throughout the show, but you watched him last night in the Pro Bowl. You look at the things that he was able to do, and you know, we go back and we think about who we heard he was supposed to be. Yeah, he had touch, but could he do all these other things? He checked so many boxes, and then when we kept hearing from people week after week when we were singing his praises, well, he hasn't done this, and he hasn't done that, and he kept checking every box. You're right, and we've called out a couple of the guys that were basically went to a sophomore slump and never got out of it, but I just cannot see any kind of scenario where that's him.
Yeah, see, I'm out on CJ. You have no exception here. Or objection here, Joe?
No, not at all. There's no chance C.J. Stroud's a one-hit wonder.
Nico Collins, possibility of him as a one-hit wonder.
I don't think so. I felt like at certain points, like, are we watching fool's gold? Is this going to last all season long? But then when he just kept getting better and kept, you know, again, kind of like not as nitpicked as much as C.J. would be at the quarterback position, but, you know, the fact that he went up, we knew he could go up in traffic in high point footballs. But, you know, catches in traffic, catches, you know, making all the deep balls, yards after the catch. I don't see a scenario where I think that he's gonna take a step back.
I don't either. Like, he seems legit. Now, I think that you can certainly debate certain tiers with Nico Collins relative to the rest of the league. Like, yesterday we mentioned Nico Collins. What did we say he was? Like, he was being drafted as the number 9 wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think he was top 10 currently. And I know it's super early to be drafting fantasy football, but these things are usually pretty accurate, even this far out. Now, a big reason because of that is because of C.J. Stroud. He went from 33 catches, 37 catches, and yes, he had injury concerns, to all of a sudden 80 catches. So I'm always a little bit leery of guys who take a huge jump, like being able to sustain that level of jump. But my eye test tells me with Nico that I'm not really worried about it because he has good hands, he has really good size, and he has the ability to run after catch. So I'm cool with Nico. I don't really have much fear that he would be a one-hit wonder. Joe?
I want to say yes and no, guys. I want to say no. Uh-oh. As long as he's a Houston Texan. I question if down the road when Nico Collins hits the market, if he'll have the same success.
I was kind of piggybacking
on
that.
Interesting.
I was going to say, I don't have any question he's not going to take a step back. I do have questions if he thinks he's wide receiver one somewhere else or even here.
Yeah.
He's great because of the complement of Tank and what, you know, and with the quarterback that spreads it around. But if he gets kind of grandiose ideas that he is a true wide receiver one, I would have questions about that.
Yeah, because I think the comp that I would use here, too, is – and not the Tank Dell is going to be Ja'Marr Chase, okay? But look at what T. Higgins did this year. Like, he kind of just vanished for most of the season. I think he had less than like 5 touchdown catches the whole year. And he's a guy that I still love, but we viewed him as this number one wide receiver going into the season, and he's barely getting open when he has Ja'Marr Chase on the other side of the field. There's still part of me that wonders if Nico is a little bit of what he was with Davis Mills. So I say like 20% chance he's a one-hit wonder, but I'm still curious about him like long term.
But if you're not concerned with him and CJ, I think this would be more of a two-hit wonder because under contract for one more year, mm-hmm. we assume that the Texans would be interested in bringing him back, but there's certainly no guarantee of that. I like that take, actually, because I do think that Nico gets elevated because of Stroud, quite honestly. And I think that like the reason that his numbers surged was because of like he took like this is disrespectful to Nico Collins, but he did take that next step. But if Nico Collins took that next step and you still had a below average quarterback throwing him the football, what do his numbers look like now? Are we debating Nico Collins and T. Higgins, or are we debating Nico Collins and Gabe Davis? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that Stroud elevated him a tier, which takes you to the next wide receiver. Guy that I hold near and dear to my heart. I look down on
Noah him Brown.
Sometimes. Go Cougs. No, Tank Dell.
Oh, yeah.
Tank Dell. Yeah, Tank Dell. Tank Dell, one-hit wonder, yes
no
or no.
Chance. No chance. To me, the only thing would be a slow start because of recovering from the injury, but the injury wasn't ligaments. I was encouraged by that. He's already in the facility and been, you know, and it seems like he's on schedule. Look, what he did, the way he was able to do it, not really being in the plans early, but then once he came onto the scene and, yeah, defenses are going to pay more attention to him, but he's so elusive and quick. I just think he's going to get better if that's possible, but I don't see any chance he's going to step back.
No, and I also like the injury kind of plays a part in this too. Like, he played in 11 games, and, you know, people do have some concern about his health because he is small. But the number, like, he had 47 catches, 700 yards. Like, I expect him, now 7 touchdowns might be tough to, you know, do again, but I expect him to pass those numbers and the connection that he has with Stroud. Now, like, again, it kind of goes into that CJ Stroud conversation, but Tank Dell's here for at least the next 3 years under that rookie deal. So I have, again, very little concern of Tank Dell being a one-hit wonder.
For me, there's no chance that he's a one-hit wonder because unlike Nico, I'm pretty confident Tank Dell could pretty much play with any quarterback in the NFL and have some success. Like, let's see, like Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, what they did their rookie years, Tank Dell would still be doing the same thing anywhere else, so no shot.
Let's take a look at the defensive side of the ball on the other side. Who are the greatest or worst one-hit wonders that you remember? It can be Houston-related. It can be non-sports-related, whatever. 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Alpi got snubbed from the All-Star game. I'm curious how much Blankers cares. I don't really care. But I also wanted to take a look at every NBA All-Star and seeing what they were up to when they were 21 years old because people get impatient with 21-year-old basketball players around here. What is the good comp for Jalen Green, former Rocket comp? Also, which quarterbacks on a rookie contract have the best chance to win a Super Bowl? It is a Who Said It Friday, and it also is a Mean Text Friday, where we'll read all the mean things that you said through us all week long. 713-780-3776. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Beware of dog there. Or you can just search ESPN Houston on YouTube. We are alive and well there as well. He's at Pac-Man Joe on Twitter. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're back where you belong, in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with the Killer Bees, who won't sting you unless provoked. Here's Joel and Jeremy.
You know what song this is, Blankers?
Yeah, I do.
You really?
It's Billy Ray Cyrus, Miley's daddy, when he had the long, long hair. And the achy, breaky heart.
Yeah. Well done. This is what I think of whenever I think one-hit wonder. Billy Ray didn't have another wonder, did he?
He had a wonder and a kid, right? That actually produced more hits than he did.
I meant to say hit. He never had another hit, right? Like, this is it.
I think you're pretty – I think that's accurate.
This was like my early elementary days. Now, did you ever hear this song in Chicago? Did it get up north that high?
Not really. I mean, it's also probably a little –
this was a pretty big deal for a while.
I remember hearing this song whenever I was like doing PE at Lakeland Elementary in Humble ISD and doing the jump rope. We would jump rope to this song.
Okay. That makes me feel like I also did the same thing.
That's a bit uncomfortable to think about, but
how old were you, Blaine? Were you in you were out of college?
I don't even remember, but this is like, what is it, Gangnam Style?
Yeah,
but see, he's a super superstar. We just don't know.
Not here, because I couldn't name another song.
He was once.
Yeah, but like I saw this random TikTok of him performing like overseas, and it looked like he filled up the biggest stadium on the planet.
Would that be a GIF, the one where he like jumps through the stage?
Yes,
because I've seen that. I see that all over the place. Like 100%. Walking into the weekend, like this guy, and he's like being lifted up.
Yeah, they catapult him like out of the stage. It looks awesome.
It's one of my favorite gifts that exist. So that's what I think of whenever I think of one-hit wonder. What do you think of when you think of one-hit wonder? 713-780-3776.
I can rattle off, you know me, I could rattle off a list right now for you, like probably.
Give me your top three.
Men Without Hats Safety Dance.
What is that?
It sounds like a.
You would know the song. Believe me, you would know the song.
I think they have a residency at the that Castle Casino in Vegas.
Kaja Goo Goo, Too Shy, and then right at the same time as, right at the same time as the Safety Dance, there. Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners. There you go. Those are three.
Did Vanilla Ice have another hit besides Ice Ice Baby?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Stole that, too, from Queen in...
The riff, he sure did.
He lost.
He had like one other very popular song. If you're someone of like my age,
wasn't it from
else.
A movie?
Yeah, he has. It's Go Ninja.
Oh yeah, from the Ninja Warrior.
From Ninja Turtles.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he does like this. Like he says, "Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go," and it's like one of the funniest songs in the world. But it's great.
Did Criss Cross have another song besides Jump Jump?
Wicked Whack, make it a Mac. Criss Cross will make
they
weren't
a
jump,
one-hit
jump.
Wonder. Oh, no, you're singing the
that's the only one I know.
So they never had another hit, did they?
I don't think so.
I don't think that they had another hit. New Kids on the Block, did they ever have more than one song?
I'm afraid they did.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, okay. I'm afraid they did. Yep.
Joe was eager.
There's a lot of females that would be able to rattle off the catalog.
There's some people I used to work with that still, like, they make it a point to go.
There's some people that I used to work with, too. That you know, because they have prominent jobs with the Rockets, that would not miss being as close to New Kids on the Block as possible when they come back.
713-780-3776. 0002, biggest one-hit wonder, Lou Bega's Mambo?
Mambo number five. Yep, that's
Mambo
a good one.
Five. I didn't see the rest of that. Or he said La Macarena.
That's another big one.
I don't know who sang that. I have no idea who put that together, but that's still a hit. Like, that's still a hit to these days, but it is the only
Los
hit.
Del Rio.
Is that, that's who sings it?
Macarena. Yeah.
Oh, Mickey?
Oh, yeah. Tony Basil. Yep.
Yeah, somebody said that Billy Ray had that Old Town Road with Lil Nas, but he did that like 40 years
after. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That was pretty recent.
It was recent, but it was not, it was like probably, I promise you, that it was 30-ish years removed from My Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, for sure.
So he went 30 years with nothing except for Miley, and he went from Achy Breaky Heart to Miley to Old
Town
Road.
What was the dude? The one I was thinking about at the same time as the Dexy's Midnight Runners and all that was Falco Rock Me Amadeus. That was another one.
That's
yeah.
all they had?
Yeah, that's all they had.
Oh man, who let
and
the
it was
dogs
one
out
dude. It was just one dude.
Somebody, Richard Hidalgo could be. Nah, he had a couple of good years.
Yeah,
he had a couple of good years. 713-780-3776. Will Anderson, one hit wonder?
No way. God no.
Yeah,
no
I'm comfortable.
Chance.
He's like super solid everywhere that he's just going to be a really good football player for a good amount of time.
See, that's what I think. That's where I think people will try to draw the line. No matter what, he's going to be an above-average, really good football player. It's just the expectations are that he's going to be a dominant, top-five pass-rushing football player.
Yeah, it depends on where is his ceiling. And, like, does he get to that ceiling? Well, it's more can he get to the ceiling, because I think his ceiling's incredibly high. It's can he get to the ceiling. And I think he developed a lot in his rookie year, too. So I'm a hard no on that one. John Gernard, who went from an injury-prone season to 12.5 sacks in a contract year, 2 years removed from an 8-sack season.
I can't see him this being the best he's got. But as we said, injuries are the biggest concern I have for him because he's starting to, you know, he's got more moves now. He seems to have really figured it out. I would be concerned about injuries, but I don't think that this is the best year that he's ever going to have in his career.
I'm going
to
say yes.
I hesitate to call him a one-hit wonder because he was pretty solid 2 years ago, and I don't see him going from 12.5 sacks to, like, 5 and, like, never getting past that. But I do think the 12.5 sacks is going to be his career high.
That's kind of why I say yes. I don't think he ever gets this point again. He might get close, but I think he'll max out at, like, 10 going forward in his career.
Okay. Yeah, we're kind of similar ideas there. Christian Harris, who really came on second half of the year.
Yeah, I don't think so because of DeMeco and because of the fact that he was kind of, you know, I was a big fan of his when they drafted him, and I thought he was a steal, and he showed some signs and then kind of faded. And then under DeMeco, he just kind of just, you know, took the world by storm. I believe that the best is still yet to come for him.
I think he's about to take off. I think he's going to go nuts and be one of the better linebackers in football. When I say better, let me qualify that. I think he's going to be like a top 15 linebacker in football, like maybe even top 10. I think he's about to really take off.
So he could be DeMeco's really Fred Warner?
Yeah. Yeah, and that might be too high of praise. Like, he still might have a little ways to go there. Mm-hmm. But I think he's about to take off. And I think we saw it, like, in the last 4 to 6 games of the year. He was playing on another level last 4 or 6 games of the year.
For me, it's an easy, like, no chance he's a one-hit wonder. I think
Derek Stingley.
Yeah, he's
go
a star.
Ahead, go ahead.
No, I just think
star,
Christian Harris, yeah. He's all over the place. Like, the way he developed from, like, week one to where it was at the end of the season, like, they're putting what we talked about, the green dot on toe-to-toe, and then by the end of the season, Christian Harris is making every big play possible on this team. That relationship with DeMeco, like, when you go back to the pick six against Flacco, there's so much there that I just think I'm with you guys. I think he takes off next year in a big way.
Where are you at on Derek Stingley?
I think the best is still yet to come with him too. He might be, because of the injuries, because of the coaching, because of the scheme, I think he got off to a super slow start. But when you look at what he did this year, and, you know, and for, yeah, he had, again, he missed some time, but when you look at it, like, you got to believe, like, there's going to be better seasons ahead for him. So I would say definitely that he was not a one-hit wonder, that there's better seasons coming for him.
Yeah, to me, it's if he can avoid injury. If he's on the football field, he's a really good football player. It's just about avoiding injury for Derek Stingley.
Yeah, I don't think he's a one-hit wonder.
No, but I think eventually that contract could be a problem if he doesn't really, truly show out between now and then.
Last one, and then we can get back to the music ones because that's the real fun part of the conversation. Blake Cashman is a one-hit wonder.
Boy, you know, I honestly think that he is. I think that this was his career year. I think that, you know, when we started talking about how well he covered on tight ends and receivers when they got out in the open field, when he was all over the field. I mean, this is something we hadn't seen before, and he's been in the league for a decent – I definitely think we saw the best of Blake Cashman this last year.
Yeah, to me it depends on where he ends up. Like, if he stays with the Texans, but I think the Texans might try to out-recruit him and get better there, I could see him having a similar season, but it's hard to imagine. I think this is his career year. Yeah, I'll go one-hit wonder on him as well.
Yeah, totally agree. I think part of it is for him is he's going to get a pay increase, and I just don't think he can live up to a pay increase.
And I also don't think Caserio is going to pay for it. Like, I think Caserio realizes that he squeezed as much out of Blake Cashman as possible, and he's playing at his ceiling. Why pay him over his ceiling? I don't think he's going to get paid. I think he's going to be on a different team next year. Mark says Chris Cross had 2 hits. Mark and a bunch of people, by the way, on the Twitch and the text line, they're taking exception to us saying Chris Cross only had 1 hit.
What did
he said jump, jump.
I'm
he said
Googling
warm it
that.
Up. He said warm it up.
Oh, warm it up, Chris. I'm about to. Okay, that was decent. All right.
There you go.
Are you really? But, like, is it really that different between a one-hit wonder and a two-hit wonder?
Yeah, yeah, it's much different.
Like Jeremy
Absolutely.
Lin
it's,
is
it's
like
winning. No, it's like winning one. It's like winning one major versus winning two majors. I think it's drastically different.
I don't think it's that different. Like you're okay. still not like you're not a top artist or anything like that. You're not a great player if you have 2 good moments. That's all
but
they
if you
really
win
have.
2 majors, maybe that's all you got. Maybe you won 2 majors and you're not a top 25 player in the world.
Yeah, that's still kind of one-hit wondery.
That's like
Fred Couples only won 1 major. Go Cougs.
Michelle Wee. Remember how everybody was taught she could take everything by storm? She won
the
one tournament?
Portion of the show.
I know, but Nike signed her to the monster deal, and she was all over on commercials, and everybody's like, oh, boy, she's going to be like the female Tiger. Not so much.
She was never Annika Sorensen. What was the game the bench used to play? Female golfer?
Male golfer, female golfer, food.
Yeah.
Michelle Wee. 713,
if someone yells
fiend
right, I'm not.
Peyton Hillis.
Remember when he wanted to get like hyper paid after one good year?
Yeah, he was on Madden.
He got the Madden cover. Yeah. It was the Madden curse. Maybe the greatest Madden curse of all time. I mean, he did save his kids in the ocean though. So I would say he's more than one hit, Joe.
Baja Man.
Oh, that's not fair.
Baja Man. What did they sing?
Who Let the Dogs Out?
Oh, what a great song!
That's right. That's not a great song.
It is a great song.
My kids love it.
It's a terrible song.
That song came out when I was like 12. I love that song.
Well then right there something. With that, wouldn't that be Whoomp, There It Is, too? Tag team?
It's pretty good.
I think those two, more modern.
You can
win
one major but still be a good player. Most wouldn't hit wonder musicians don't have any other good music. You're right. It's a bad example. I'm just saying that you have to have more than one hit. That wasn't my best one. One hit wonder. This guy said Ray Rice Elevator. Ooh.
Oh. Literally. Ooh. Ouch.
Don't send us stuff like that. We're not going to read that stuff on the radio. 713-780-3776. Don't send us that stuff. It's not going to be read. 713-780-3776. This guy says House of Pain, Jump Around. That
you know,
song
I'm very
is a great
to that
walk-up
song.
Song.
I mean,
why is that?
Because that's the you know at Wisconsin to start the fourth quarter.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
That is like that's the tradition.
We had a U of H baseball player, Caleb Ramsey, played minors for a little bit. He used that as a walk-up song. It was electric as a walk-up song because it gets like the crowd into it and stuff.
Did they name the artist?
Yeah, House of Pain.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, House of Pain. Great. I mean, but that's all they got. I've heard a friend of mine said they once saw them in concert and they had to play that song three times.
Really?
Yeah. Like they didn't have all that much. Yeah.
Somebody said Jeremy Pena. Jeremy Pena was fine in his sophomore year. Like Jeremy Pena's regular season in year two was very similar to Jeremy Pena's regular season in year one. It's just the postseason were very different, and it seems like he lost all his power.
Yeah, but maybe that's the one hit wonder is the postseason.
Yeah, like, the whole collection of a season. Yeah.
I
know.
But one hit wonder makes it seem like you're lousy every other time of your life. And Jeremy Pena's first 2 years is a good big leaguer, especially because he plays shortstop and plays at a high level. So that's where I nitpick that.
I mean, is he really that good if Lance Berkman doesn't know who he is?
Lance Berkman is clueless on Astros. That doesn't mean that Jeremy Pena stinks. It means that Lance Berkman doesn't follow the hometown team. Eddie Grant, Electric Avenue. I like that song.
It's a good song. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know Eddie Grant's.
No, he's had he had one from a movie too, Joe would never, but Romancing the Stone. I know that Eddie Grant had another song.
There you go. Our one hit wonder. Somebody said Steve Slayton, one hit wonder in Houston sports. That's a good call.
Someone said
Jason Lane. Jason Lane's a good call too. Somebody else said Morgan Insberg. Morgan Insberg had a couple of solid years. His standalone year was just so far better than every other year that he had.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Those are our one-hit wonders, sports and non-sports. Alpi Shingun, not an all-star, which I'm sure he's upset. He's ill today, too. I wonder if he's sick about not making the all-star team. Whatever. But I want to look at every all-star and where they were when they were 21 years old. Because a lot of you out there, a lot of the Hive are done with Jalen Green because he's 21 years old and he's disappointing you and he's letting you down and you have zero patience. How about all these other all-stars and what they were up to when they were 21 years old? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, deep inside the secret bee cave, it's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brenham.
Miranda says, "Take on Me" by A-ha. Is that the song that says, "Take on me"?
Yeah, great video.
Take me on. That's how it goes, right?
Yeah, was that really cool video where the charcoal sketches come to life on MTV?
They had TV then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Do you want the top 10?
White boy. The top 10 greatest one-hit wonders? Here's another one before you do that.
Okay.
King of Twitch, who's always a beacon of positivity. He says, right. Yiner Diaz. Unbelievable. See,
that's
that
unreal.
Unbelievable,
way to start the weekend 10? Off right. Number one all time was Macarena. I find that somewhat surprising. I would think there was others, but
that one's still a banger too. Like go to a wedding and don't hear that song. Doesn't
of course,
happen,
but so is
where I come from.
Electric Slide.
Okay.
I mean, that's another one hit wonder that you're going to hear at a wedding. I used to DJ. Yeah. I used to have to play all these songs.
What's your DJ name?
Same. Macarena number one.
What?
Tainted Love
DJ
number two.
Blank?
No, Tainted Love, number two.
Tainted Love.
Dexy's Midnight Runners, Come on, Eileen, number three. Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy. Five is Tony Basil, Mickey.
Six, oh, some people did text that in.
Yep. Six is Who Let the Dogs Out. Seven is Ice Ice Baby. Eight is Take on Me. Nine is Rico Suave. And 10 is 99 Luft Balloons.
Who sang that one?
Nena. N-E-N-A. She was German. Because the American version was 99 Red Balloons. But there were two versions that were out. Just letting you know.
Oh, man. That's
like,
very good. That's
Rico,
good stuff
you guys
there.
Know the song Rico Suave?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Rico Suave.
So the guy who like sang that. It, his music name was like, it's like Marky Mark from Mark Wahlberg. His music name was Gerardo, but he was actually in movies and soap operas. I think his name was like Adrian Zmed or something like, or something close to that. He was in Bachelor Party, I think, with Tom Hanks.
Huh. Someone said Marwin Gonzalez was the Milli Vanilli of 2017. You're not wrong. You know,
it's very true.
Impartial. You're not wrong. Someone said Brady Anderson. That was performance.
The Orioles the year he hit 50 bombs and had forearms like power lifter.
He went from being a 12 homer guy to a 50 something homer guy.
Yeah.
12 homer lead off slapping Judy guy into hitting tanks 50 of them in a single year. Allegedly.
Now there's
allegedly.
Another ex Astro that did something like that one year.
Luis Gonzalez.
Gonzo did. Finley. He sure did.
So did Finley.
That's
like those
true.
Those dudes were super skinny, and they were hitting 50 home runs. It's like, what is going on?
Maybe there was some truth
what is
to some
happening
of those rumors
right now.
Back in the day.
What is happening at this moment? All right, here is Alpi Shingun got snubbed from the All-Star Games, according to some. Do you think he got snubbed?
I think they're obviously Rocket fans could make a case. I think he's having a really, really good year. But unless they do what, like, you know, baseball does, where you need at least one representative from every team – I was looking at it last night, and really, I don't think there's many that you would say got snubbed, and I think that actually Sabonis with the Kings is having another great year that might be better than Alp, where you go, you know what, he's got an argument too. But other than that, I think that they pretty much got it right. It's a shame because of we see it differently because this was like his breakout season, but I just don't think that he had the numbers overall and the team had the success for him to get there.
Yeah, I mean, you could nitpick a few things. I don't think that it was an obvious snub because I think it is hard to take out somebody else now. Hey, maybe it motivates Alpi. Maybe, you know, he can take that game to an even higher level. So there could be some positive here. 2128 says went to high school in Crosby with Astros one-hit wonder J.R. Tolle. He was a one-game wonder. Had like 8 RBIs in a game. So everybody, hey, Jalen Green, trade him, impatient. He's not living up to the hype. He's a bust. His potential is great, but he's not there yet. He's 21 years old. He needs to be better. I went and I looked and I pulled the numbers of every player that got named to the All-Star game this year. This is what I did on the plane right here.
Mm.
Every All-Star when they were 21 years old. Now, there's some dudes who like were nuts. Like, there's some dudes who were unbelievable. LeBron James, when he was 21, averaged 31.5 points, 7 rebounds, 6.5 assists. So he's a freak. Kevin Durant averaged 30 points, 7.5 rebounds. Luka Doncic was at 28, 8.5, and 8. So, like, there are guys, some of the best in the league, who were doing it at a very young age. They were doing it at 21. There's other guys that at the age of 21, you had no idea who they were going to become. Giannis, when he was 21 years old, solid player, 17 points, 7.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists. That's good. That's solid. It's not the best player in the NBA. Joel Embiid, when he was 21 years old, he did not play for the entire season with a foot injury, and it was the second straight season. Joel Embiid didn't play a game in the NBA until his age 22 year.
He got Sam Hinkie fired.
Yeah, because she trusts the
trust
process.
Trust the process,
was,
yep.
Was on the IR. Tyrese Halliburton, he got traded in his second year when he was 21. He was average. He was okay, 15.5 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, okay. Damian Lillard, when he was 21 years old, he was still in college. Damian Lillard was still in college
really?
When he was 21 years old. Yeah, his rookie year, he was 22. And he had a good rookie year, 19 points, 6.5 assists, but that wasn't like, you know, all-star caliber. His rookie year was when he was 22. Same thing with Jalen Brunson. When Jalen Brunson was 21 was his final year of college. Whenever he was a rookie at 22, he averaged 9.5 points, 3 assists, 2.5 rebounds a game. Bam Adebayo, who's kind of like, you know, he's kind of a big, so it's a little bit hard to compare here. But he only started 28 games when he was 21. He had 9.7.5 rebounds. Jaylen Brown, 14.5 points, 5 rebounds. Tyrese Maxey, 17.5 points, 4.5 rebounds. Donovan Mitchell, 20.5 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds a game. Julius Randle, 11-10. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 19.6 rebounds, 3.5 assists. Nikolai Jokic, 16.5 points. I did have 10 rebounds a game. Steph Curry, when he was 21, 17.5 points a game, 6 assists per game. Paul George, 12 points, 5.5 rebounds. Kawhi Leonard, 12 points, 6 rebounds. Jalen Green this year at the age of 21, 18.5 points a game, 5 rebounds a game. And this isn't me trying to tell you that Jalen Green is someday going to be a perennial all-star. I have no idea what Jalen Green's going to do. No one does. No one has any clue what Jalen Green's going to do over the next 5 to 6 seasons. What I'm trying to tell you is that all of you that are jumping to conclusions on a 21-year-old who's already oozed incredible potential. He's in his third season and has already had a year where he scored 20 points or more. Currently at 18.5, if he finishes hot, he'll have back-to-back seasons of 20 or more. He's currently in a heater right now, and he's playing for a real coach for the first time in his life that is trying to teach him how to play team basketball and how to play winning basketball. I have no idea what Jalen Green's going to become. I have no idea if Jalen Green's going to be a disappointment. I have no idea if Jalen Green's going to turn into a perennial all-star. What I do know is that you can't quit really talented basketball players at the age of 21.
No, and you know what? And I've also brought up, and I appreciate the research you did, the one guy that I always go to that comes to my mind right away was Chauncey Billups, who was like Jalen Green. He was a high lottery type pick, and he bounced around from the Celtics, who I believe drafted him, to the Nuggets, and then the Pistons finally got him, and then boom, he becomes a Hall of Famer. You just don't know, and this is kind of the conversation we had with Will Anderson during Texans season too. Like, you just don't know when a guy's going to take off and not only bloom, but just like explode. And that's the kind of thing that you have to be very cognizant of. That's why we both said, hey, look, you can see what the market is right now just to see what people are thinking. But there's no way you trade Jalen Green unless you have to, because there's just so much untapped potential. And because of the fact that he literally threw away the first two seasons of his career in terms of how to be a great NBA player because he wasn't coached, he got no guidance, he got nothing other than the ball in his hands every time he wanted it. And now he's in a position, like you said, where he's learning how to be a true NBA player, both ends of the floor, not, you know, complaining about calls as much, basically sharing the basketball. He's finding out right now the rebounds are a great story, but also the fact that when Udoka made a point of saying, when Fred VanVleet's out, this is one of the guys that I want to facilitate the offense, to where he could be more of a facilitator. I just don't think in his head, because he never really played the position, that he actually contemplated how good that could be for him.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is he's shown the ability. Like, we know he has it in him. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. It's like, I wouldn't quit on a 21-year-old really ever, but especially a 21-year-old that shows you that he's capable of having a 40-point night. That shows you he's capable of averaging 20 or more in a season. So you know he has the capability. I totally understand the frustration. I get it. And especially in the society we live nowadays where, hey, it's microwave society. I don't have any patience, or give me patience and give it to me now. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I get it. Like, I understand the conversation. I understand the argument. I understand. I don't understand the logic, but I understand the argument. He has shown us he's capable of doing it. So it's not only quitting on a 21-year-old, it's quitting on a 21-year-old that has shown you that he is capable. So now, because you finally have a good coach, maybe he can bring it all out of him. Maybe Jalen Green in 3 years is going to be a complete player that has been able to, you know, sand the rough edges, and he's turning into this player who makes the right decisions, who is more consistent, who is not as streaky and rides these waves, and he's a more consistent player that is a perennial all-star. Or maybe he just turns out to be this guy who's off the bench who's a six man, which, you know, that's possible, that's plausible, that's in play, but I'm going to find out first.
No, you have to, because the thing is, you know, when you say, well, you know what, he hasn't really, his whole mentality is always shoot first. And we've talked about this and how when the ball's in his hands, he feels like he's got to go shoot, get the ball up in the air, figure out a way to put some points on the board. But it's because it's the only way he's ever known. Now you put him in a system where he starts to find out, hey, I can move the ball, I can pass the ball, I'll get the ball back if I'm open, but it's better for me and better for the team. And then he becomes more of a facilitator that can score. Now he opens up not just the team aspect, but it opens up more avenues for him too, because what are people noticing over the last several games? Rebounds. No one ever thought Jalen Green was going to be a rebounder, but because all of a sudden he's figured out, hey, I can make an impact on the game. And a lot of this generation feels like the only way they impact the game is how many points you can score. But when he can get other things on the stat sheet, people are taking notice. And I think to your point, Jeremy, the other thing is it depends on where you were drafted, how the critics and the skeptics come out of the woodwork even faster. When you're a top five pick, you're supposed to already be an all-star. You're supposed to be a guy that everybody's already wowed by, and it hasn't happened for him. But a lot of it's because if you're the top, you know, it's not like the NBA used to be where if you're a top three pick, you're supposed to be a bona fide all-star difference maker for a team. It just doesn't, the success rate's not as good as it used to be.
713-780-ESPN. What is the Jalen Green comp? Is there a Jalen Green comp to a former Houston Rocket? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at a lot of things. He does plastic surgery. He does Botox. He does spot treatments. He does a lot of stuff that help a lot of people. The thing I think he's absolutely the best at is the NeoGraft procedure because I experienced it myself, and I'm telling you, it is a game changer. It gets your hair back, guys. It's not the sprays and the creams and the foams that just mask the problem. No, it's actually getting your hair back because one thing he told me that I wasn't aware of when I had the consultation with him was the fact that no matter where you lose the hair, anywhere else on your head, genetically, you're never going to lose it on the sides and the back. So therefore, he takes some of those follicles, moves them where you need them most. Maybe it's your hairline in front. Maybe it's up on top in the back. But he makes a difference because those follicles, like I said, they're never going to go away because of where they came from. If he repurposes them, now suddenly you have a better coverage area. You have more self-confidence. You like the way you look again. And you have a overall better feeling about yourself. It's phenomenal. And it's all done with the NeoGraft procedure. And you can figure out if it's right for you or not for absolutely free. Most people, it costs $150 to have a consultation with Doc's office. You get it for free by listening to us and going to 975hair.com. Set up the appointment. Go talk to them. Ask questions. Get answers. Find out if it's right for you, too. I'm telling you, the game changer for me was the fact that almost 99% of the follicles he moves are going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul, but there's so many others. And the other thing is, you're going to see the follicles there almost instantly. You'll see the true full results in about 6 to 9 months, and you are going to love it. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
You're back where you belong, in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with the Killer Bees, who won't sting you unless provoked. Here's Joel and Jeremy.
He's blank on Branham, 0773. What's your point, Branham? It's like saying the 12th pick in the draft is historically good, so all 12th picks will be good. I thought I was pretty clear with the point that Jalen Green is 21 years old, and by looking at this year's All-Stars doing what they did when they were 21, we shouldn't close the book on Jalen Green at 21. And what Jalen Green has done in his first 3 years of the league, and his oldest seeing being at the age of 21, it's a lot better than some of the current All-Stars at the age of 21. Mm-hmm. So the point is, be patient with a young kid.
Yeah, don't doubt about
that
it.
Is the point. That's what the point is. 7107, wasn't Kloby slow to blossom, or am I tripping? I seem to remember Eddie Jones being better for the Lakers before he went to, I think, Charlotte. Well, Kobe went straight out of high school, yep. So he was a year earlier than Jalen Green. And I remember they did kind of take it easy with him early, like first couple of years.
And then remember, they pushed him into the starting lineup late in the year, and he airballed a potential game winner that he basically looked guys off to take. And he took a whole lot of heat in the offseason. And they were starting to question what he could really do, and then he just went nuts because his work ethic was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was super young too. Like his rookie year was the age of 18. He started 6 games, played 15.5 minutes. His second year was when he was 19, 79 games, only started 1 game, played 26 minutes, averaged 15.5, made the All-Star team. I think he got voted in though. And he wouldn't have been an All-Star if it wasn't for the vote. He just didn't have the numbers. And his third year is when you started to see, okay, now he's an everyday starter. He averaged 20 points a game. He was 20 years old. And then when he was 21, he averaged 22.5. And then he went on this tear where he was an All-Star every single year. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say it took him a little while to blossom. I mean, Jalen Green had a better age 19 and 20 year than Kobe Bryant. Not saying that Jalen Green's going to be Kobe Bryant. But if you just went Jalen Green, 19, 20 years old, looked at those 2 years and looked at Kobe's 19 and 20 year old year, Jalen's got better numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the truth of the matter. But Kobe went nuts. Like, Kobe became an all-time great in the years to follow. And I don't think that Jalen has the work ethic that Kobe Bryant does, because I don't think anybody does.
No, I think you're right. And there's just certain things that, you know, that very few have. And his will, desire, and drive were unbelievable. But there's no denying we know he has talent. We know he can jump out of the gym. We know he's quick. We know that, you know, he's athletic. But the fact is, there's also been plenty of players that have all those attributes and can't figure it out at that level. And maybe they don't want to. Maybe they don't understand, and they're not willing to learn. But for whatever the reason, there's been a ton of guys where you can go, man, that dude coming out of college or that guy coming out of high school was unreal. And then you see him get to the next, to the ultimate level, and they don't want to do what is necessary for them to kind of take it to where everybody expects them to take it. And that's just part of the game too, because some guys, whether it's your upbringing, your training, you know, the systems you've played in, you know, maybe, you know, inside genetically, you just don't have that drive or that focus to say, this is what I want to do and I want to be the best at it. There's tons of examples.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN. Someone's asking if we touched on Carl Weathers yet. No, we were having a little fun in the first couple of segments. Didn't mention that yet. You know what's weird about that, Blankers? Is whenever I got to the hotel, one of the channels was they were showing a Rocky like marathon, but it was before he passed, so it was weird. Oh, really? Like, I actually had it on. I was watching it. I was watching Rocky III right when I walked in, as I was, like, you know, unpacking, doing some other stuff, getting ready for the show, and then about an hour later, I pull up the Twitter and there's the breaking news that Carl Weathers passed away.
Yeah, and the thing that's crazy about that too is he's now doing the commercials with Gronk leading up to the big kick Gronk is making Super Bowl Sunday during the game, and so he's even more prevalent again. He's in the commercials. They're referencing, you know, when he was training it, from the movies and stuff like that. Now all of a sudden it's like you can't run any of those commercials.
That's weird. I hadn't realized that.
Yeah,
it's too bad on Carl Weathers. He was really good in a few of his roles. I loved him best in Rocky. I know a lot of people like him in Happy Gilmore, but I think his best role ever was Apollo Creed.
No doubt.
The early Rockies were awesome.
He played, you know, some people you go, I don't know if that's the right fit for a character like that. He was the ultimate kind of, you know, badass, you know, knock me off my throne kind of boxing. He fit that role perfectly. He was fantastic.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Speaking of Jalen Green, you had a Rocket comp for him, and this is really weird because the texture just nailed the comp that you have for the Rockets, but what is it?
So, to me, I was wondering, because of the fact that I was listening to Udoka start talking about that he needs to be more of a facilitator. He wants to be, he wants to lean on Jalen to be one of the guys that kind of takes the rock and gets people going. And you know, my first correlation was, if he became Stevie Francis, would fans be okay with that? Because we've been talking about how fans have wanted to trade him. They're down on him. They don't believe in him. They don't see the possible potential that a lot of us see. And I'm thinking, you know what? It was kind of like, it wasn't like a flash in the pan, but it wasn't a long run. But Stevie was an all-star, and Stevie was in the dunk contest, and Stevie was a guy that was the leader of his team. Now, that team wasn't very good, but Stevie was averaging good numbers, and, you know, he was all over the place, and people were calling him Stevie Franchise. And I was just curious, like, would people be okay, and is that a good comp if Jalen becomes the next version of Steve Francis?
Yeah, I have a tough – are you talking about just caliber of player? Because they feel different to me.
Yeah,
like,
but
France is obviously had much better dribble.
More so about the fact that, you know, he was the leader of the team. Yeah, you had other players on the team. You had Mobley and other guys. But he was the unequivocal, like, best player on that team. So there's different ways to look at it. Yeah, he was more of the point guard, but the point guard shoot first mentality. Jalen's not definitely a one, but he's going to – evidently Udoka wants him to facilitate a little more. We'd like to see him have – more than just that kind of blinders-on approach to when the ball's in his hands. But I was just curious, like, overall with this rebuild and all these young players, if he turns out to be Stevie Francis for, you know, however long Steve Francis had his most success, but would you be okay with that?
Yeah, if you go caliber of player, because I have a hard time, like, thinking
about
player comps, but 9744 said, let me read this real quick. He said, maybe a comparison for Green could be Stephen Francis, ? I'm not as well versed on basketball, but maybe that's a fair comparison. I love Steve Francis. Like, you know, in hindsight, maybe I shouldn't have loved him as much as I did, but he was just super fun. Like, he brought a lot of athleticism. Like, he could certainly yam on you. Like, his ability
to
throw down some slams was a lot of fun. Francis was a three-time All-Star, never a first-time All-NBA. I think people would be disappointed if he had the career of Steve Francis.
See,
now, if you could parlay Steve Francis into a bigger superstar, you could parlay Jalen Green into a bigger superstar. Not now, wait a few years, then that would be something that's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. But if he had the career of Steve Francis and he was here for like a decade, I think he would be looked at widely as a disappointment.
See, and that's the reason why you can have that discussion too, is the fact that he was a three-time All-Star, but he was voted in all three times. I believe. I'm almost positive that he was voted in. That's when the voting mattered more. and it was all based on balloting for several years. But at
it
that,
looks like two of his years were legit. Looks like the final year that he got voted in, if he did get in fact get voted in, it looks like the final year that he got in probably shouldn't have been an All-Star. Okay. But two of the three, it looks like look pretty legit. Like he was averaging over 20 when not a lot of guys were averaging 20. Was rebounding. Was handing out some dimes. So I would say two of the three minimum were legit.
See, and that's where I also go back to where he was drafted, right? Because at that point, everybody that was drafted in the top five, not named Darko Milicic, was supposed to turn out to be a potential Hall of Famer, a longtime All-Star, and the best player on your team. And nowadays, it's just not the case because the kids are coming out way too early, and it's tougher to judge their potential and how far they can go. But I'm just thinking you have so much young talent on this roster. If you can get that out of Jalen Green, especially for the naysayers that don't believe you're going to see even close to that. But if you could get that from him and then start thinking about, well, I've got four or five other guys to choose from that I could also get to be guys like that for him, like Alpi, like Cam, like Amen. You know, and I don't think that Jabari's that guy, but that doesn't mean that Jabari can't be an above average player in this league. But I think that as long as people could kind of get off of Jalen to the point where they could say, okay, at least he could, if he turns out to be that, and there's a 3 or 4 year window where you could go, okay, as long as I got guys around him, that's not so bad.
No, it wouldn't. I just, a 3-time All-Star for guys, number two pick, I think people would be disappointed in that, quite frankly. 713-780-ESPN. We can open up to the Hive. Would you be disappointed if Jalen Green had that Steve Francis career? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Also, you might have seen this today. The SEC and the Big Ten are setting up advisory committee to look at college sports. How would we fix college sports if we had all of the power in the world? Also, if you want proof that there's some issues in college football, how about you take a look at some of these coaches around college football? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.